Chapter 1. Jill's Pre-Stroke Life. I am a trained and published neuroanatomist. I grew up in Terre Haute, Indiana. One of my older brothers, who is only 18 months older than I, was diagnosed with the brain disorder schizophrenia. He was officially diagnosed at the age of 31, but showed obvious signs of psychosis for many years prior to that. During our childhood, he was very different from me in the way he experienced reality and chose to behave. As a result, I became fascinated with the human brain at an early age. I wondered how it could be possible that my brother and I could share the same experience, but walk away from the situation with completely different interpretations about what had just happened. This difference in perception, information processing, and output motivated me to become a brain scientist. My undergraduate academic journey began at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana, in the late 1970s. Because of my interactions with my brother, I was hungry to understand what normal was at a neurological level. At that time, the subject of neuroscience was such a young field that it was not yet offered on the IU campus as a formal area of specialization. By studying both physiological psychology and human biology, I learned as much as I could about the human brain. My first real job in the world of medical science turned out to be an enormous blessing in my life. I was hired as a lab technician at the Terre Haute Center for Medical Education, THCME, which is a branch of the Indiana University School of Medicine hosted on the campus of Indiana State University, ISU. My time was evenly divided between the Medical Human Gross Anatomy Lab and the Neuroanatomy Research Lab. For 2 years, I was immersed in medical education, and while mentored by Dr. Robert C. Murphy, I fell in love with dissecting the human body. Bypassing the master's degree, I spent the next 6 years officially enrolled in the ISU Department of Life Science PhD program. My course load was dominated by the first-year medical school curriculum, and my research specialty was neuroanatomy under the guidance of Dr. William J. Anderson. In 1991, I received my doctorate and felt competent to teach human gross anatomy, human neuroanatomy, and histology at the medical school level. In 1988, during my time at the THCME and ISU, my brother was officially diagnosed with schizophrenia. Biologically, he is the closest thing to me that exists in the universe. I wanted to understand why I could take my dreams and connect them to reality and make my dreams come true. What was different about my brother's brain, such that he could not connect his dreams to a common reality, and they instead became delusions? I was eager to pursue research in schizophrenia. Following commencement from ISU, I was offered a postdoctoral research position at Harvard Medical School in the Department of Neuroscience. I spent 2 years working with Dr. Roger Tutel on the localization of area MT, which is located in the part of the brain's visual cortex that tracks movement. I was interested in this project because a high percentage of individuals diagnosed with schizophrenia exhibit abnormal eye behavior when watching moving objects. After helping Roger anatomically identify area MT's location in the human brain, I followed my heart and transferred into the Harvard Medical School Department of Psychiatry. It was my goal to work in the lab of Dr. Francine M. Bennis at McLean Hospital. Dr. Bennis is a world-renowned expert in the postmortem investigation of the human brain as it relates to schizophrenia. I believe this would be how I could make my contribution to help people stricken with the same brain disorder as my brother. The week before I began my new position at McLean Hospital, my dad, Hal, and I flew to Miami to attend the 1993 annual conference of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Hal, a retired Episcopalian minister with a PhD in counseling psychology, had always been an advocate for social justice. We were both motivated to attend this convention to learn more about NAMI and what we could do to merge our energy with theirs. NAMI is the largest grassroots organization dedicated to improving the lives of persons living with serious mental illness. At that time, NAMI had a membership of approximately 40,000 families with a loved one who is psychiatrically diagnosed. Now, NAMI has a membership of approximately 220,000 families. The National NAMI organization advocates at the national level, while the state NAMIs advocate at the state level. In addition, there are over 1,100 local NAMI affiliates scattered around the country, providing support, education, and advocacy opportunities for families at the community level.